Okay. If you recall, we had just started Sif Zayin of Simin Shin Yud Aleph. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Zayin, Chosno Shebe Kelim, seals of Kelim, Kigon Shita Tevel Megdal, like for example different types of chests or closets, Shakisu Shalom Kosher Mechevel, that the cover is tied on with a rope, Yachol Atiro, you can untie it, because you're allowed to untie a temporary knot. Or to cut it open with a knife, because everyone agrees ain't steer behalem in this case, because it's not like a strong kli, you're just like ripping the ropes that keep it closed. Or you can untwist the ropes and thereby destroy them, which we said was the machlokes, and the Mishnah Berurah and Biur Halacha pointed out that the Rambam would forbid. V'davka king shiras chevel, that's where we left off. And that's only when can you break or cut part of a kli. That's only if it's just like tying with a rope or string or things like that that are very weak. Aval potachat shel eitz, but a wooden lock, v'shel mateches, or a metal lock, also lafki l'shaber, you can't break and smash. This the shita of the mechaber, l'shita say, like the Tosfos and the Rush, that there is binyan ustir or gemur by kelim. So if you break, like let's say, a chest with a metal or wooden lock, and you lost the key, to smash that is really smashing a strong kli. And that's an issur of stira even in kelim. Then he brings two machlokos. First machlokos, he says, is omitam ze also lohasar atzirim shekorin gunzish achori hateva in nevram avteach. Because of this, you're not allowed to take off the hinges that are called, whatever they're called, that are on the back of the chest if you lose the key. Meaning, what was the controversy? If you have a hinge or even a bracket or something like that, that's like nailed in. Can you take it out and thereby open your key? You're not breaking anything, just like prying off something that's nailed on. So it's usur because that's a real breaking. You're really, even though you're not breaking a piece of wood in half, when you take out something that's nailed in, that's really breaking the kli. V'yesh matirim bezu, but some people are matir. Okay, this is a machlokis, the Yosef brings between the Ravenu Peretz and the Rimi Kinon. I think it's probably pronounced Shinon or something originally. But the Rimi Kinon was matir, and Ravenu Peretz asur. Ravenu Peretz asur because it's dirah b'kelim. And the Rimi Kinon matered because he says you're not breaking anything. Steer became was only if you break, you smash something, smash a piece in half. Or you're not breaking anything, you're just like prying off something that is nailed on. And that's not real stira. Lemaisa, they argue about the heter. The Gemara says that the Mishnah says you're allowed to take off the delet of a kli. You can take off the door. So Rabbeinu Peretz says that means take off a door when it's not. You're not taking off any piece that's nailed on. That's when you're allowed to take off a door, when it's only loosely attached. But if something's nailed on, of course you can't take it off. And the Rimi Kinon says no, you can take off a door anytime you want. It's no problem. Now here's the halacha lemaisa. We are machmer on this. The achronim don't give a clear hachra, but since there's no clear hachra here, lemaisa or machmer. An interesting discussion, at least theoretical discussion, is what about attaching the tzir, attaching the hinges to the kli? If taking off the hinges from the kli is a machlokes, Rabbeinu Peretz versus Rimi Kinon, how about attaching the hinges to a kli? So here, there's a difference between the Magen Avraham and the and the Taz. The Magen Avraham says in yeah, at the end of Sivkat Yud, well, perhaps, says everyone agrees you're not allowed to nail on the hinges on Shabbos. That's Pashat Asr. Okay, the Taz here might sound a little different. The Taz says, well, if the Rimi Kanon Matr is taking off the hinges, he also matters attaching the hinges. But the Mishnah Berurah explains in Sifkatan Lama Dalit, no, everyone agrees it's usher to nail on hinges on Shabbos. Why? That's tkiyah if you nail something. No one thinks tkiyah is mutter. So everyone agrees. Just the Magen Avraham was talking about nailing on the hinges. He says everyone agrees you can't nail on the hinges. The Taz was not talking about mamish nailing something on, just attaching something. And if you're just attaching something, but you don't need to use a hammer and nails, let's say it just fits on if you press it a little, that is what the Taz meant to be matur. So halacha l'maisa, we say that Rabbi Peretz says, just the chazer, you can't take off hinges, you can't put on the hinges, that's all the problem, binyan steer b'kelim. The Rimi Kanon says, no, if you're stuck and you lose your key, you can take off the bracket or the hinge to open up, to pry apart the piece of wood, and open up your chest on Shabbos. Can you even put it back? The Taz says, you can put it back, but he means if you're not nailing with Tkia. The Magen Avraham says that you cannot put it back. He says you cannot put it back, and it sounds like maybe the Mishnah implies they don't really argue. If you do kia, you can't put it back. If not, then he would permit you to. If it doesn't involve kia, he would permit you to put it back. But either way, that's the shita of Rimi Kinon. We would be machmer like Rebbeinu Peretz and say it's totally usher because in kli gomer there's an isser of stira b'kelim. Now he brings down another machlokes and Shulchan Aruch says, the Ushvirs potachot shel tivot, breaking the locks of chest, yesh matra v'yesh oser, some people matra, some people aser, v'yesh lahavtol yidei akum, and nachraz yesh matra yidei akum. This is a slightly different machlokes Rishonim. This is the smach brings down the re-asers, and the Rabbi Eliezer matras. This machlokas seems to be the pure machlokas of whether yesh stira b'kelim or ain't stira b'kelim that we saw between Rashi and Tosfos. If you hold like Rashi, ain't been used stira b'kelim at all, then you're allowed to smash a lock. If you hold like Tosfos, that yesh been used stira gemur b'kelim, then it's obviously usher. And the achra of the mechaber here is. That's the gross of the Mishnah Berurah. It's the exact same machlokas of Rashi and Tosfos that we mentioned in Sif Aleph, all along whether there's stira by Kalim or not. Paskins, the Mechaber, you could be Mekel al Yaakum, even though earlier he said it's Usr, right? He said earlier, a few lines ago, that Potachat shall Eitz shall Matechat Usr lafkil shaber. But now, he says, but there is someone who matters, so I still think it's Usr, you can Mekel since the machlokas we've shown him. You could be Mekel al Yidei Akum. So let's just see here. Here we have Rashi. Ein Stira B'Kelim. Here we have Tosfos. Yesh Stira Gemura B'Kelim. When it comes to the Sugya of Shvirat Potachat, breaking the lock, Rashi leads to Rabbi Eliezer, who says Mutter. And the Re, quoted by the Sfak and many other Rishonim, quoted by the Beis Yosef, who says, Usr. When it comes to the thing we mentioned before this, there's a big deal in the Achronim, is the Machlokas about taking off the hinges, the exact same Machlokas as Rashi and Tosfos and breaking the locks? Or is it a slightly different machlokas? The Mishnah Berurah and the Gra as well make it sound like this machlokas about the potachat is the same machlokas, but the machlokas at the tzirim is not exactly the same machlokas when it comes to hasaras hatzirim. Rebbeinu Peretz said it was aser because yesh tzir gemur b'kelim. Rashi
would obviously say mutter, but the re the Rikinon says mutter, and it seems to be the Rikinon is saying mutter, even according to Tosfos there, the Yesh Stira Gemura B'Kelim. Why? See, because this is not called Stira Gemura. You're not breaking anything. Even for Tosfos, because if you don't break anything, it's not called Stira Gemura. It's only called Stira Gemura when you
when you break something. And here, there's not a not a clear hakra about this. If there's no clear hakra, we would be machmir. Here, there is, well, somewhat of clear hakra.
What's the hakra? Says the mechaber, who's really quoting the smach, mutter al yidei akum. What's the principle?
The principle is, if something's a machlokes, without a clear hakra, then it's mutter al yidei akum. The Mishnah Berura quotes the Maharshal of Kabbalah Lamed Zayin, and this is a klali, this is generally applicable. Some people say only if it's tzorich mitzvah or hefsed merubah.
Says the, who's the Yesh Omrim?
I think it just says Yesh Kasvu, but the Yesh Kasvu actually is the Magen Avraham quotes it in Sifkatan. The Magen Avraham in Sifkatan Yud Aleph quotes the Yam Shel Shlomo. It's the Maharsha.
So the Yam Shel Shlomo mutter rak al pi haklal shel shvus kishvus b'makom mitzvah or hefsed merubah.
Meaning, he doesn't say, oh, since it's a machlokas, you can always make on an akum. One svar is the machaber says, well, if it's a machlokas, then for us will be machber, suffer deraisa, for the goy will be makel, suffer gerbonim, and miral akum. The marshal doesn't like that. He says, no, if it's a machlokas or a machber, or a machber for a goy also. You want to be makel? The only time you can make makel for a goy is shvos to shvos makel mitzvah, or makel hefsin ruba. Right, we mentioned that, right? Tell the goy to do gerbonim, this is gerbonim, because it's just breaking it. It's makalkal anyway, it's destructive anyway. This is very unclear ad hayom zeh. Something's a machlokas. Machlokas opposed to him to your shlomo's over an orechim rosh feinstein, something like that. Can you tell a goy to do it? Because, like, okay, for the goy, you'll use the more mekel shita, or you can't tell a goy to do it unless it's like shas adchak, a makom mitzvah, hefsin merubah, etc. Lamaisa, there's many, over here it's not so clear. The Mishmur doesn't say 100% clear, although he seems to give prominence to this yesha kasvu. Halacha lamaisa, in a few places when there's a machlokes, we find the poskim write, well, you can maybe tell a gay akum. In some places, they don't say you can make alidei akum. There's no clear rule in the poskim. The minhag is sometimes when it's a machlokas and we really see that the tzad l'hakel is very strong, we say motzei alidei akum totally lechachila. And other times, we only make alidei akum when it is when it's really a shas hachak or a hefsin meruba. Or something like that. So if you're stuck and something's really a live machlokas, not a lopsided theoretical machlokas, like a real machlokas, then there's room to make a l'idei akum if you're stuck. Totally lechachila to be make a l'idei akum. Okay, that really you have to have a judgment call by a posek on a case by case basis. So much for Sif Zayin. Sif Ches says, we mentioned this already, choslo shel tamarim. Choslos are these like baskets of some sort, weak baskets of tvorim or grogers for dates and figs. In a kisun kasher b'chevel, if the lid, I mean, of these baskets, they're made of like really like lula branches, and it's very weak, is tied with a string matter. You can untie the string because it's temporary. The soser shashos chevel, or you can just break the chains of the string. V'chotek chavil b'sakin, and you can cut it even with a knife. V'achli l'gubin shel chotelot. Not just you can cut the string, you can even cut the whole kli in half. Rip the whole kli. This is where we get the idea that if something in a paper or plastic package, you can even rip the whole package. From Chosel Sheltzimar, there's no problem with Korea. Why? Why is there no problem with Stier Bekelen and no problem with Korea? As we mentioned, it's called like Mishover Goes with Mishkeidim. Up to here is the Gemara. This is what the Rambam adds. Moshe Shover Goes with Mishkeidim. It's just like breaking the shell of a walnut or an almond. Right? Is it breaking to break the shell? No, it's just the shell of a food. It's not a halacha to break the shell of a food. Likewise, this is just considered to be the shell of the food. The Magen Avraham points out that, of course, if it was a real permanent kli, a strong kli, this would be awesome. But since this is just a temporary packaging, that is mutter, the modern-day poskim assume, even though the Prima Gadim wonders, like, what kind of packaging is including this hector? Packaging is meant to store it, or only packaging is meant for it to ripen in? Lamaisa, the modern-day poskim assume that this applies to all of our disposable packaging, the regular packaging that we buy that are just good to rip and throw out. We buy our food in the store, like Chosel Sheltzimarim, and that's why we don't worry about ripping them on Shabbos, at least we're just ripping them in a way that destroys them and gets out the food. Tess says the Shulchan Aruch, Mutter, this is not found in the Gemara. Right, this is in the Mordechai. The Mordechai. Mutter lafkia v'lachtoch, you can destroy and cut kishrei ashbud, the ties on the spit, shakoshrim betleu v'ofatzluyin, that you tie, that they used to tie on the sheep or chicken or other fowl that is roasted. Basically, when they roast it on a spit, how do you get the animal to stick on the spit? You would tie it with string. I think there's still, even nowadays, sometimes get a roast, not in a spit, they tie it with strings also, and probably if they've, I don't know, when they have rotisserie chicken, do they just rely on the friction of sticking it through, or do they tie it on?
I've seen them do both.
You've seen them do both. Okay, so what about those? That's no problem to destroy. That has no chashivas at all. Because again, this is even less than Stier Bekelen. It's not even a kli, it's just tied on a piece of food, so there's no problem at all. The principle is here that just cutting a string is not considered a any type of malacha if you're not actually destroying something useful. He also points out that it's not considered a malacha of mechatech. There's another malacha called mechatech, cutting to size, because you're not cutting it to a specific size, you're just cutting it stop. So that's why there's no malacha of mechatech involved in cutting the, if you wanted to cut the rope, you said I need 6 inch length of rope. So let me cut it so I'll get a 6 inch piece. That's a malacha of mechatech. But here, you're not cutting it to a specific size. You're just time. You don't care what size it is. Destroying it, that's no problem of mechatech, and it is heter gomer. Sif yud. Now, the mechaber contrasts kelim with karka. Remember, on kelim, Rashi says there's no binyan steer at all. Tosa says there's binyan steer if it's gemura, but not if it's just light. But in karka, even a light binyan steer is binyan steer, right? Even if something's attached very loosely, right, even just putting your sliding door on the trap, which is attached very loosely, that's an issue d'oraisa on karka. Any type of building is d'oraisa on karka, and any type of destroying could be d'oraisa on karka if you're doing it for constructive purpose. Therefore, the Mechaber says, Yod chos moshe b'karka, seals that close up things that are attached to the ground, gondela shelbor, like for example, not the door of a chest, but the door of a pit, like I guess they would have like a trap door of the pit. What? Like
a sewer cover would be the same thing?
Like sewer covers could be the same thing, correct. Now, sewer covers are a little, I mean, they're actually addressed in the Shulchan Aruch, sorry. They're a little more making this because the sewer covers, you don't actually attach. You just sort of drop them into place. But sewer covers could still be a problem, at least, of, you know, looking like bone. And if you would attach the sewer covers, even lightly, that would possibly be bone into
rice. Or cellar doors.
What?
Cellar doors.
Right, you see that, okay, so the cellar door is a little tricky, meaning opening and closing a door is not bone.
Right.
But let's say you seal the cellar door with some sort of extra seal, that would be bone and sosers. That's the example here. Let's see, he doesn't mean opening and closing the door. He means shakasher bochevel. You tie it with a rope for an extra permanent sealing. Not sealing, but seal. So, yachol atiro. then you could untie the knot. Because untying the knot, let's say basically you had like some rope on this door, and when you wanted to keep the door closed, the animals wouldn't push it open, you know, so like a cat wouldn't like prop it open or something, you would just tie a knot. So you can untie the knot. Because untying the knot's not breaking anything. That's the malacha called matir, and the rule of matir is the law of kesher shekayamu. It's not a permanent knot. You're allowed to untie a temporary knot. At least if it's a very relatively simple temporary knot. Right? It's like untying your shoes. You can untie your shoes. So you can untie this. Because untying is like closing and opening the door. Nothing breaks. But what about breaking? Shari omri lahatir. Sorry. It's a temporary knot because it's meant to be opened all the time. Avalo mafkia v'chotech. But you can't break and cut the rope. That's what you can't do. Meaning to close and open the door, that's called closing and opening the door. It's not breaking anything. To tie and untie the knot, that's not breaking anything. It's untying, but luckily the law of untying is mutter because the temporary knot doesn't count. And you can tie a temporary knot and untie a temporary knot. However, to actually cut the rope, that's breaking something. That's not, meaning, if you cut the rope, you wouldn't say, oh, that's how I always open and close. No, now you've broken something. Breaking something attached to the ground, even if it's very flimsy, just a rope, is a malacha. And that's what he says, we shum stira, because that's stira by karka, and karka, even a stira that's light and not strong, is still stira. Okay, now he gives a caveat. Okay, the basic principle is that in karka, opening and closing is okay. Opening and closing is okay. The manhole cover, so simple shot is, it's a little more chomer than like the nagar and the pkak, etc. And like maybe a chash, according to most Rishonim, just maybe it can look like paving, but it's not really malacha because you're not building and destroying anything. You're just putting it on and off. Closing and opening your cellar door is fine. You can lock it with a key. You can tie and untie the knot. But breaking something, even something very light, like taking your cellar door off and on the hinges, even if it comes off and on very loosely, that's a malacha d'oraisa. And cutting the ropes that keep your cellar shut, that's malacha d'oraisa. That's not opening it. That's actually breaking something. However, he says, v'davka k'sha'asui l'kayim, there's a limit even to karka. Even in karka, if something is meant to close something, if there's a seal, when is it usher break a seal? That's if it's at least meant to last through Shabbos. But if it's meant to be super temporary, meaning it's not even going to last through Shabbos, then it's mutter. That's why in the old days, what did they used to do in their ovens? The ovens were attached to the ground. They would take a board and close up the ovens to keep the heat inside. And then they would smear a little cement to seal it well. They didn't have gaskets in those days. So they would seal it with cement to keep the heat inside. And on Shabbos morning, when you wanted lunch, when you wanted to take out your cholent, you just pull off that board that was like cemented on. Oh, that looks like destroying. That's stir bakarka. That's not a regular opening of a door. That's like something that's cemented on. And you're actually breaking something. You're breaking cement. So the answer is, even if you're actually breaking cement, if it's super temporary, that it's meant to be opened on Shabbos itself, then even when it comes to karka, that's not considered stira. That's just considered to be opening the door. Now, we're not talking about this kula. If you look, it comes from the Trumas Hadeshim. The Mordechai in Trumas Hadeshim. He explains, it's not true of actually breaking something. Like if I had a chair, I only want to use that chair through Shabbos morning and then break it. I still couldn't break it on Shabbos. But here we're talking about something that's just like opening a doorway. Now, if I was opening a doorway, opening a door, plush it mutter. But I'm opening a doorway by breaking something. So if I open a doorway by breaking something on karka, if it's meant to last till Saturday night, that's malach of soser. But if it's meant to be opened on Shabbos, that's not a malach of soser. That is a heter even by karka. So even by karka, if something's sealed and you have to break it open, not just open it, but break it open. If it's meant to be sealed, like from Friday till Matzah Shabbos, that's usher to break it open. But if it's only meant to be sealed from Friday till Shabbos morning or Shabbos midday, then I'm allowed to break it open. Yeah. Okay, Yud Aleph. Yod Aleph is much of it, at least the beginning, is about a different Av Malacha. There's an Av Malacha called, there is no Av Malacha called Mevarech. There's an Av Malacha called Memachik, right? Memachik means sanding or smoothing a surface. Like if I take sandpaper and I smooth a piece of wood, that's the Av Malacha of Memachik. Notice, it's linguistically related to Av Malacha of Mochik, because how do you actually erase something? Not on a computer. The way you, like, how do you erase a pencil from a piece of paper? What you do is, a pencil eraser, the pencil eraser might be a little subtle, but most things to erase, like in a Sefer Torah, if you make a mistake, you have to erase in a Sefer Torah, you take a razor blade and you scrape off the top layer. So Mochik and Memachik are similar actions. The Avos Malach have nothing to do with each other anymore, because the Avalach of Mochik is to remove writing, and it applies regardless of whether you use a razor blade or not. The Avalach of Memachik is to smooth the surface. Right? So I'm just pointing out they're linguistically related, because you would do them the same way in the old days. You could take a razor blade and smooth your surface, or take a razor blade and erase the ches and write a different letter that you meant to write. That's memachik, to like sand a surface, to actually like smooth, like take a surface and like scrape it till you sand it smooth. There's a tolda of memachik called memareach. Memareach is not that you sand something by like scraping it off until it becomes flat, but that you take a pliable substance like putty or wax and you shape it into the right shape so it's smooth. So it's a different kind of smoothing. They're both d'oraisa. One is smoothing by taking something very hard and like scraping off all the rough parts till it's smooth. The other is taking something which is pliable, which is putty-like consistency, and smoothing by just pressing it into a smooth shape. So that's why, for example, you can't play with silly putty on Shabbos because of mimareach. Because what you do is you like smooth it into a shape. You can't play with Play-Doh on Shabbos because of mimareach. Because you smooth it into a shape.
I know where it's like a shinichas.
Whether it's a bar meruach or not, but lemaisa we paskin that if you were using dough, again, I'm not talking about, I mean, you can't bake on Shabbos, but aim meruach ba'ochlin. You know, we generally say that meruach, for the most part, doesn't apply when something's for food, but if you're smoothing dough someplace to seal something, so lemaisa, we would be machmer on that. We saw that machlokas, very good. Was that in Shem Yuchas, you said? Okay. So, also litein shava, you're not allowed to put wax, o shemen av, or thick oil. Thick oil doesn't mean what you think of as thick oil. Because what you think of as thick oil is not going to plug the holes in anything. Right? It means like oil can actually get like gelled. Right? Turn into like a jelly, a gel kind of thing. Turn semi-solid. So that's what it means by thick oil. It means wax. We don't. Yeah, you know what wax is? Wax is like candles. Right? Very good. Excellent. So wax is like wax candles. Like, you know, like Abdullah candle? Like, I mean, we try not to break the Abdullah candle, right? But if you would take that, you can actually, like, with a lot of force, smooth it into any shape you want, because wax is somewhat pliable. Chewing gum, for example, that's a bar mirareach. Shemen av is very good. It's like when you buy on Hanukkah, right? They used to sell pre-made things with, like, liquid inside, and then, like, it would always leak and mess and everything. Now they have a chop. They sell it with solidified oil inside. And the solidified oil, as soon as you light, it turns liquid. So that's shemen av. That's olive oil, right? It's pure olive oil, I believe. How do they get the olive oil to be thick? I don't know. Probably they do something to it. I don't know. So that's thick oil. That's not as strong as chewing gum or wax or silly putty. Or non-silly putty or serious putty, right? That, like, workmen use, right? That's not as thick as those other things. But it's not, I would say that wax is a pliable solid. Putty is a pliable solid. Chewing gum is a pliable solid. This, The wax, it, like if you would open one of those Hanukkah candles, right, when it's still solid olive oil, it's pretty mushy. But it still has a bit of a solid form, right? It's pretty mushy, but it has a bit of a solid form. So that is what I call a semi-solid. So the Gemara says the difference between them. Also, between Shava Ushemen of Venekav Achavis Lusodmo, Neshahu, Memareach, you can't put wax or solidified oil in a hole in a barrel to stop up the hole of the barrel. Because of Mimareah, because you're smoothing it, right? That's you plug up the hole by smoothing it over the hole. The Gemara says there are two different dargas. There is Shava is Chayav, that is meaning a pliable solid. That's Chayav. Shemen of, which is a semi-solid, that is Asur Midrabanan. The Gemara says the only reason they Asur Shemen of is Zera Atu Shava. So when it comes to, and this is relevant to our Memareach Shailos, right? The Gemara said Memareach Ritiya B'Shabbos is Chayav Chatos. Someone who puts on the poultice, I think is the word for the old-fashioned bandages. Anyone know good English, old-fashioned English vocabulary? What do they call a band-aid in Hebrew? Plaster. Right? Now, I didn't check with the Akademi Lashon Ivrit, but maybe it comes from the same as what we're speaking of this word, plaster. Why would a band-aid be called plaster? It doesn't look like plaster. Because in the old days, they didn't have band-aids. When you had a wound, they would have some special medical thing that would both heal it and protect it. It would have like medicines and protective, and it was a plaster-like substance that you smeared and was very solid. That's the Isser D'oraisa Memareach. When we say you can't use like the ointments and the creams on Shabbos, that's not an Isser D'oraisa Memareach. That's not like Shava and like the Ritiya. That's like plaster and Shava. That's like Shemen Av, right? Meaning it's a thick oil, right? It doesn't spill, but it's not really solid. So that's only D'rabbanan. So all the things that we worry about, when we worry about a mimareach, when you put on creams and ointments, that's the rabbanon like Shemen Av. If you would put on something really solid, like, you know what, probably chapstick. Chapstick is probably d'oraisa to put on. Because chapstick is really a strong solid, right? Chapstick is probably stronger than that solidified olive oil that you buy for Hanukkah. But the regular creams and ointments, that's like Shemen Av, and that's an Issur D'Rabbanan. Either way, you're not allowed to smear things. The only thing that's mutter is something that's not like Shemen Av, something that's like regular Shemen, right? Liquids, then there's no Issur at all, because that's not similar to wax and putty.
Are we
going
to get to foods? Like foods?
Maybe. Maybe the summer Hilch Shabbos month. I'm going to start planning it now. Afternoon Seder in the summer. I'm not joking. Now let's continue a little. Also, leaving Shava Oshemen of Benekav Achavas L'Satmo Mitnei Shuhu Memareach. Aval B'Shar Dvarim Delesh V'Yishumei Ruach. Hol V'Eina Yain Yotzei Oz Mutter. Hol V'Eina Yain Yotzei Oz was added by the Ramah, but it's just accurately explaining what the Mechaber means. The Mechaber says, but other things that are not subject to Meiruach, what does it mean other things not subject to Meiruach? He doesn't mean things that are weaker than Shemen Av. Those things wouldn't do anything in a barrel. He doesn't mean face cream. Face cream is not going to help you at all in a barrel. What he means is things that are so strong that they don't smooth at all, like tennis balls. Stick a tennis ball into your hole in the barrel. That's so solid that it's not even pliable. There's no problem with Meiruach if it's not pliable, right? Meiruach is only something which you could change its form and make it smoother. Something which you can't change its form. It's stuck in the form it has, so there's no shash of Meiruach. You take a cork, like a regular cork in a wine bottle, you can't smooth that cork. It is what it is. You can squeeze it in someplace, but you can't make it smoother than it is. So that's, what about things that are so solid that they're not pliable at all? They just are what they are. So he says, that's mutter to plug a hole where the wine is not leaking. Let's see the contrast, and then we'll go back and see the background. V'im hoya yayin yotzei derech hanekev,
But if the wine was leaking, meaning there's two kinds of holes. There's a non-emergency hole. You want to plug up the hole in the barrel for the future use, the yeter bitachon, to be on the safe side, etc. And then there's a leaky barrel, right? The wine is leaking out. That's an emergency. Sometimes in emergencies, we're making on Hilchos Shabbos. This is the case where in emergencies, we're machmir in Hilchos Shabbos, for reasons that we'll explain. If the wine was leaking out, then asher l'sabo, you're not allowed to plug it up. Vafilu, meaning with anything. You can't even put in a tennis ball. You can't put in anything. You can't even crumple up a raincoat and put it in. You can't put anything in there. Vafilu l'itimo shum derech harama. Shum, not meaning shum davar, meaning shum. You can't even, like garlic, you can imagine garlic, meaning it's no marayach and garlic, right? You can't smooth garlic. But it could be a good thing for plugging things up, because like round, it could squish in a little. You can't even put garlic there, even as a harama. Even as a harama, saying, I just need to store my garlic someplace. Oh, where am I going to put my garlic? I don't want to put it on the floor, someone might step on it. I don't want to put it on the table, because I'm using the table now. Ah, here's a place the size of a garlic, I'll put it in, even al yidei harama, it's aser. Even though sometimes, obviously the assumption is this an issur rabbanan, and sometimes they're about to haram by issur rabbanan, this case, even a haram is aser. He adds, though, v'yemu tamah chacham mutal harem b'kach, but a tamah chacham is mutal yidei harama. Usually, in halacha, a tamah chacham is more machmir than anyone else. Right? Usually, in halacha, the halacha of the tamah chacham were machmir. The bal nefesh yachmir, the Gemara says. Well, the Gemara doesn't have lashon bal nefesh yachmir. What's the Gemara's lashon for that a tamah chacham has to be more machmir? Adam chashuv shiny. The Gemara says many places. Adam chashuv shiny. Adam chashuv has to be more machmir. But dafka, when it comes to harama, a tamah chacham is more makel. I mean, we'll see about what's shown here. Why dafka, when it comes to harama, is a tamah chacham more makel? Because very poshut. Other things depend on the action. When it depends on the action, then a tamah chacham should not do something it should not do an action which looks usher. But harama depends on the kavana, meaning the action is innocent. It just depends on the kavana. You're just storing your garlic. So if your kavana was to store your garlic, it's mutter. If your kavana was to plug the hole, it's usher. Only you know your machshava. So you and Hashem Yisparach. So, if only you know your machshava, then by an aretz, we'll say, if we let him do it with one machshava, he'll do it with the other machshava, because he will get confused. But by the machshava, he knows that machshava makes a difference. He knows that just because he can do it with one machshava, doesn't mean he can do it with another machshava, and therefore we're makel for a tamachacham, a makam harama, in a few places, including possibly this one. Now, I've just read you the Shulchan Aruch, but to really understand the Shulchan Aruch, you need to go back and understand the Gemaras. What does the Gemara say? the Gemara says, excuse me, two things. First, the Gemara says, on Masech Shabbos, Daf Kof Mem Vav, if there's a hole in your barrel, you can't put wax on it because you're smoothing. And even it happened once, and Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said, Choshim lo michatas, I think he has to bring a chatas. So we see that wax is usher. Then the Gemara says, later on, Mishka, how about thick oil? Rav usher, Shmuel Shari. We know we always paskin like Rav or like Shmuel in Isra Heter. Like Rav, so that's why he passed an usher. Man, the usher goes, read him Shem Shava. It's a gzeira, because thick oil is similar to wax. Okay. That is good enough for now. So what do we see from here? That wax is usher, and thick oil is usher because it's similar to wax. But everything else is mutter, right? Even thick oil was a machlokas. Clearly something which is totally different than wax is heter gomer. That's from Daf Kof Mem Vav. However, on Daf, let me just find it. Here it is. On Daf, Kuf Lamentes, and the Sugya
of harama, it's a general harama sugya, meaning kuf mem vav is the barrel sugya. Well, this whole siman has been from that kuf mem vav. Kuf lamed tes is the harama sugya. It's about totally different haramas, having nothing to do with barrels and nothing to do with building things and fixing things. But it says right here that, do you see this certain Talmud Chacham named Rav Huna Bar Rav Chiyon or Rav Huna Bar Rav Chalvan, who took a head of garlic and stuck it in the hole of the barrel and said, oh, I'm storing my garlic. And then he did something else. He went and he took a nap in a ferry boat and the guy crossing the river says, I was just taking a nap. The answer is, ah, harama? Oh, this is only harama and nisid rabbanan, and we matter for a Talmud Chacham, because the Talmud Chacham won't come to do it like stam. Talmud Chacham will know to do the harama, and will know that that doesn't mean he can do it explicitly. Okay. So hold on a second. What does it sound from here? Maybe there's a heter of harama of a Talmud Chacham. But min astam, you're not allowed to put garlic. Let's say explicitly, not through harama. You just mamish put the garlic in. If you put the garlic in saying you want to close your barrel, then that's usser. So this is a stira. On daf kuf mem vav, only shava was usser and shemen av was exera. But on daf kuf lamed tes, we see that min astam, without the harama, even garlic is usser. So this is a stira. Let me put the stira on the board. On daf kuf mem vav, it says shava and shemen av is usser. Sounds like mashma dishar devarim mutter. But on daf kuf lamed tes, without a harama, right? Everything is usser. Even garlic. So that's the sphere. Is everything usser? And maybe you have a cool harama for Talmud Chacham, but generally everything is usser? Or are only pliable things usser? And, of course, why would everything be usser? Like, which avmalach are we talking about? Why would everything be usser? Because of what malacha would everything be usser to close your barrel with? Makeh b'patish or boneh, right? Because of makeh b'patish or boneh, right? Whatever you hold about kelim. Now, maybe you only need rabbanan, because this is obviously not the real way to fix it. But obviously, what's the malacha here? The malacha is memareach, right? That's explicit. So, on daf kuf mem vav, it sounds like it's the only problem memareach with things that you shmir. Otherwise, it's not a problem. But daf kum lahuf lamed tes says, no, it's a problem fixing your barrel no matter what you use. How do you resolve this stira? So, the way the Beis Yosef answered, explaining the Torah, one answer is Torah, as explained by the Beis Yosef, he says, this is when it's not leaking, and this is when it is leaking. If it's not leaking, they weren't gozer midrabanan that it looks like fixing. If it's not leaking, it's only a problem if you're doing memareach. But if it's leaking, then it looks like fixing. Because after all, it's leaking, and it's when it's something's leaking, it looks broken. It looks like an emergency. All of a sudden, it looks like such an emergency, you have to fix it. So everyone says, look, he fixed it. So therefore, if it's leaking, then it is, if it's not leaking, then it is not like fixing. It doesn't look like fixing. It's only a problem with areach. But if it is leaking, then it looks like fixing. And this is the sheet of the Mechaber. That's what the Mechaber said. I know the Rabbi had to add some words to explain him, but he wasn't adding words to change it. Just to give you an honest explanation, he said, the ratio of the Mechaber is when it's not leaking, the only chash is Merareach. There's no chash of boneh. And there's only chash of Merareach, and therefore, Shav is Asr, Shem and Av is Asr, everything else is okay. But when it's leaking, then it already looks like fixing, looks like Makeh v'Patish or boneh. Does the Mishnah Berurah pick which one he wants to emphasize here? Says the Mishnah Berurah.
He means
b'levad chashash. No, in garlic there is no such thing as marech. Yeah, if it would be shav, there would be two problems.
Okay.
The Midrabbanan Mechtekim Etakin. Looks like fixing. Okay. Doesn't say explicitly. This is the Shita of the Mechaber. Here's another possible answer. The Beis Yosef says maybe the Rambam. Maybe the Rambam. And this is the Dachuk answer. I'm not worried about the best answer. But maybe the Rambam, and this is a little Dachuk, says maybe the Rambam would say there's no stira. Here it means that it has. It always has one iser of mitaking. And here it's just talking about a second iser of mimarea. There's not really any stira. In Daf Kof Lamed Tes, we learn there's always an iser that it looks like mitaking. In Daf Kof Lamed Vav, we're saying, besides looking like mitaking, there's a second iser of mimarea. We didn't mean to say there's only an iser of mimarea. We meant to say there's also an iser of mimarea. Okay, it's not the pashup shot, it's a little dachuk. Really? That whole sugya of Shem and Av is only about the secondary iser, like an or another iser, but it could be. However, no one's going to pass in that way. The Magen Mishnah, however, he says in the Rambam, he says, no, you have to be medayik from the Lashon. Where are we going to put the Magen Mishnah? We will put him, I guess, here. Three, Magen Mishnah, obviously interpreting the Rambam. He says, you know what the difference is? Here it is on the hold. Here it is in the hold. So they're talking about two different ways of stopping the barrel. Daf Kof Mem Vav is where you don't put anything inside the hold, you just put something on top of the hold, like outside the hold. Kof Lamed Tes is talking about when you stick something inside the hole. It says that's very possible. If you stick something inside the hole, that looks like fixing. It's like you're adding to, you're fixing the barrel. That Kof Mem Vav is talking about you don't stick anything inside the hole. You just smear it on top of the hole, like you put a Band-Aid on the hole. That's not fixing, because the hole's still there. You're just putting something outside the hole. When you put something on outside the hole, that's only a problem of Mareach. When you put something inside the hole, that's a problem of Bona. In which case, it makes no difference if it's leaking or not. Depends how you want to plug your barrel. If you're sticking something inside the hole, that's always usser, no matter what it is. If you're sticking something outside the hole, then if it's something which you can do memareach to, it's usser. If it's something that you don't do memareach to, it's mutter. So it just depends what kind of substance it is.
The second shot, the Rambam, that was
Beis Yosef? Beis Yosef said maybe the Rambam. He wasn't sure. Okay, how do we paskin? So if you look, both the Magen Avraham and the Taz, now I ruined the word both, and the Mishnah Berurah, Mishnah Berurah says, Ha'achronim kasvu, Bach, Elio Rabba, Shar Achronim, basically all the Achronim. All the Achronim pasuk like the Magen Mishnah. And the Mishnah Berurah, and that's how we paskin lehalacha. We paskin makes no difference if it's leaking or not. We don't paskin like the Mechaber. We say the issue is not if it's leaking or not, quotes the Mishnah Berurah. V'achronim kasvu de'ikar kedas Rambam, meaning the mainstream shot of the Rambam. Right? Rambam, as explained by the Magid Mishnah, which is the best shot in the Rambam. Okay, that's how we pass like the Rambam. So if you stick something in a hole, that's always awesome in your bonnet because it looks like bone. If you stick something not in the hole, but just over the hole, then that's only Aser Yishum Mareach, and it depends what kind of thing it is. If it's something which has Meruach, then it's Aser. If it's something which doesn't have Meruach, then it would be Mutter. Now, let me just point out two other things, and that's the Halacha L'maisa. So we erase the whole thing, L'maisa, of leaking versus non-leaking. Let's just do the Halacha L'maisa. Halacha L'maisa. Two, plug inside the hole. that's always aser, except harama shel Talmud Chacham is mutter, and the Rambam says that actually this harama is mutter even if you're not a Talmud Chacham. You only need to be the Talmud Chacham for the other harama. This harama is mutter even if you're not a Talmud Chacham. We don't pass like the Rambam, we make a pshara, says the Magen Avraham Shabura. Nowadays, no one talks about Drag of Talmud Chacham. But for this, we can still have a Drag of Talmud Chacham even nowadays, since the Rambam says you don't have to be a Talmud Chacham, so you only need a Suffolk Talmud Chacham. So we're still in a Drag of Suffolk Talmud Chacham. So a Rambam Shal Talmud Chacham, Afilu Bizban Hazet, even Bizban Hazet's mutter, and we're so much under Talmud Chachamim. Why? Because the Rambam says you don't need a Talmud Chacham. So if it's only a Suffolk need for a Talmud Chacham, we're all Suffolk Talmud Chachamim. And the other heter says in the Mishnah Berurah, very important, in Sifkatan, Memches, or a something which you're used to plugging and unplugging. Meaning, this is all talking about if you fix it. But what never looks like fixing? If it's something which you usually plug and unplug with, like a stopper. Let's say a cleat comes with a thing that you use to close and open it. Then that obviously doesn't look like fixing. Because we all know that's just like closing and opening a door. Right? That's like kaka chalon and smuchan me'eslo. Right? I mean, even according to the Shita, there's a chash book. Right? So these are the two cases when it's okay. One is if you plug inside the hole. That is always usser because of nere kimitaking, because it looks like fixing. It's not real fixing because you haven't, like, it's not fixing deraisa because you haven't actually plugged it well. But it looks like fixing, and therefore, because you probably only need to do it very temporarily, so it's also except for a case of harama and something that's a usual plug, which is obvious to everyone, that you're not trying to fix the barrel, you just take this in and out all the time. The second case is if you... What?
I'm sure you asked this the most, that's also asking.
No, these are mutter. These are the two exceptions of mutter.
Okay.
These are the two cases where it's mutter. These two, that's the two exceptions. Why is this mutter? Because it doesn't look like fixing, because everyone knows you put it in and take it out every day.
You said the psak is not like the Rambam?
No, it's like the Rambam Magen Mishnah, number 3.
You said, but...
Oh, in terms of the Talmud Chacham, you mean?
Yeah.
No, it's not like the Rambam. But, because... Basically, the Magen Mishnah is this. If it had been for sure you that it's only mutter for Talmud Chacham, we would say nowadays it's usher, because no one's a Talmud Chacham. But since the machlokas rishonim, whether it's mutter for an am haaretz or only for a Talmud Chacham, therefore we're enough talmid chachamim that if there's, you know, we're basically according to the Rambam, it's mutter for an am haaretz. According to the other rishonim, it's mutter for Talmud Chacham. So therefore we're enough of suffik talmid chachamim that it's mutter for us.
Shouldn't it just matter that you know this specific halacha?
No, because there seems to be a gender called Talmud Chacham. Then is if you seal over the hole, right? Outside the hole. Right? Outside the hole. How do you seal outside the hole? Because you go outside the hole and around a little. Right? That is aser to do meruach but mutter if you don't do meruach. So if you could find something that will close it up without meruach, that would be okay. Although it's going to be a little hard without smearing and without putting something in the hole to plug it up. But if you find something, that's okay. But if you do meruach, that's a problem of memareach. Also, you do meruach, obviously, because of memareach. But it's not a problem of tikkun. Since you're not actually putting something inside the hole, that's not a problem of tikkun. I wanted to point out maybe one or two more things. One more thing. If you look in the Mishnah Berurah, he says someplace here, if I can find it. One second. The Yeah, the Lashon here is not 100% clear, but it's an interesting question. Let's say you're using something that has meruach. What if you put it on, but you don't share it? You just take, like, a bunch of wax, and you stick it on, but you don't smooth it at all. Right? Or you take some shemenov and you dab, you put it on without smoothing at all. Is that a problem or not? What if you put it on without smoothing? So, it's not so clear. In the Mishnah Berurah, people understand from the Lashon of the Mishnah Berurah in Mem Vav, Me'orech, but came into Mishum Chashash Meruach, Asra Afilum Ein Machter Shem Tocha Nekev, since the Chashash of... Let's leave that for now. Okay. Sif Yud Beis. Sakin Shutocha Bekotel Shel Eitzi Rod Yom. A knife which was stuck in a wooden wall from Friday. Asher Lo Tzio B'Shabbos. You're not allowed to take it out on Shabbos. Why? Kevin Shudavar Mechobar. Since Mechobar L'Karka, when you take it out, you're going to widen the hole. Interesting halacha here. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Lashon Trumas Edeshin, he says, Afshein Miskam Bazei, you're not trying to widen the hole in the wall. Kim'at Psik Reishu, it's practically a Psik Reishu to widen the hole. This is a famous machlokas, or among the poskim. What about Kim'at Psik Reishu? What if something's almost a Psik Reishu? Like, you don't intend to do it, it's almost for sure you'll do it, but not for sure. Right, what if it's 99%? So is that considered Psik Reishu, or is that considered Dav She'ein Miskavin? So this is the two main Mekoros lessers. There's a Marshan Shabbos who says, Karav Lipsikresha is Usser. If it's close to 100%, it's Usser. And there's this Trumas Adeshin who says, Kim Apsikresha is Usser. So based on these two Mekoros, most poskim understand that even if I do something and it causes a side effect, that's Malach on Shabbos. It doesn't 100% cause that side effect, only 98%. That's still called Psikresha. If it's like practically certain, kim'at psik reisha, almost certainly, if I say it almost certainly will happen, that's considered close enough to be a psik reisha. It's not so clear. Rav Ram ben Arambam says someplace that in a case where it's close to psik reisha, it's not actually usher, but it's still improper. That's like the Megil Shita. So like no one thinks something that's almost a psik reisha is okay. Then the machlokas, some folks can say it's mutter, but borderline, so improper, so better not to do it. And the Trumas Edeshin sounds like it's a psik reisha. Halacha l'maisa, we assume anything which is practically a psik reisha is a psik reisha. I don't mean 51% or 60% or 70% or 88%, but it's like 98%. Anything we say, oh, well, rarely it might not cause this malacha to happen. But, like, of course it would normally cause this malacha to happen. Not just like most of the time. Most of the time we're not machmeron. 3 out of 4, we're not machmeron. But if like always cause the malacha to happen, unless like it's a weird occurrence, then we call that a psik reisha. That's what I hear. If you take the socket out of the kotel, is it for sure 100% it's going to widen the hole? Like if it's stuck in very tight? It's not 100% it's going to widen the hole. F sure it won't widen the hole. It's not 100%. But even though it's not 100%, it's close enough to 100% that we call that a psik reisha. That's an important Yisod in Hilchas Shabbos, which comes up in two places, in Maharsha and in Masechet Shabbos, and in this Trumas Hadeshen, which is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah in Lumdeis. I'll read it to you. When you take it out, since it was first fairly tightly stuck in, it's impossible you're not widening the hole. Making even the smallest hole in an attached in a wall that's attached to the ground, the Yeshua Shum Kodeach is called drilling, which is a total of building. The Abdeh is Kavin, even though you're not trying to widen the hole, and the Sarat Zion says he's pointing out, quoting the Trumas Edeshen, Kim Ad Psik Reisha is practically a Psik Reisha. Okay. And see above, what does he mean by see above? See above, remember he quoted the Magen Avraham, who says, Ne'ikra Din, he thinks this is Mukher, because it's Psik Reisha Dlo Nichole, and Mekalkel, and Kelachar Yad. But nonetheless, we don't do it. Nonetheless, if something's stuck into a wall that's attached to the ground, we would not pull it out on Shabbos because it will widen the hole. It will be practically psik reisha widening the hole. But if it's stuck into a bench, remember the machlokas Ramah and Machaber, I won't chazer now, earlier in Sef Aleph, was what if it's stuck into like a container and makes an opening in the container? But if it's not stuck into a bench, it doesn't make an opening in anything. Just stuck into a bench, that's not machaber, then you're allowed to take it out. Because even though it's going to widen the hole in the bench, widening the hole in the bench is not malacha. Because ain't venue to steer bekalim unless you're actually accomplishing something significant. And just a wire hole in the bench is not enough to make a binyan steer bekalim. Adrama, v'imdats v'shal v'mod yom v'kol lo shari. But if you stuck it in and took it out once on frying, now it's mutter. Now there are two sveikos that we have to clarify that the Bir Halacha deals with. First is if you took it out, put it in, took it out on Friday, it's mutter. Mutter what? Mutter to put it back in on Shabbos? So says the Mishnah Brura, the Bir Halacha, sorry. It says the Mishnah Brura, no. Only if you stuck it in Friday, took it out, and stuck it back in again. And so therefore, even though the Ramah only says you stuck it in and out, now it's wide enough. What do you say? If you stuck it in and out once, now it's wide enough that you're not going to widen it again. Mishnah says that's not the deal. What he means is you stuck it in, took it out, and stuck it in again on Friday. Now, if you take it out and stick it in again, and now that's enough that it's not going to be a psik ratio of widening. So the first time you stick it in, right, you're making the hole, right? Datsa, the first time, that's making the hole. Shalfa, basically, first time you stick it in, you're making the hole. When you then take it out, that's a psik ratio of harchavas ha-nekev. Psik ratio of widening the hole. Then, even though it doesn't, not mefurish darma, says the Mishnah Brura, when you stick it again, it's still a psik ratio. But when you then take it out again, and then, etc., ad infinitum, from then on, it's only a davar sheinu miskaving, and it is mutter. Yeah?
Did you mention there's a bar? So would it disagree with the Mishnah Brura?
No. Just that it didn't sound that way for the Ramah. But the Mishnah Brura is fairly certain about that. Hold on one second. Because he's medayikid from the Gemara, and he says that even though you could maybe get out of it, but it sounds like from Rashi, he doesn't put anyone who disagrees. Sorry, what were you saying? Where? You mean when you stick it out, take it out the second time? Because if the hole already got so wide by putting it in and out and back in again, maybe it's wide enough that when you take it out, it won't get wider. Like, if you think about it, you stick a knife in a wall that makes a hole. It's stuck in so tight that when you take it out, you have to jiggle a little, and that widens the hole. When you stick it in again, since the hole was only made once, then it closes in, etc. And when you stick it in again, you're for sure going to widen the hole. But once you've stuck it in twice already, the hole's pretty wide. Once the hole's wide enough, you can jiggle a little, take it out, and it won't widen it anymore because it's already wide enough. So we assume now it might, but it might not. So that's what we assume, that in, out, in is enough, that it's wide enough now there's room to get in and out without widening the hole again. This is also relevant for other things, like, for example, the old, this is not comparable, just parallel. Can you take tissues out of the tissue bag? Maybe you'll rip and widen the hole. So the answer is that's much, because that's the Davar Sheinu Miskaving. Right? I mean, that's not similar to the knife, because it's not so tight. We don't really have things that are so similar to the knife nowadays, except... now, let's review for a second. One second. Let me review for a second. Says the Mishnah Brura, let's just add something. Ready to add something? Says the Mishnah Brura, if you recall, let's divide into three things. This is obviously Asur L'Kuli Alma. The first time you stick it in, it's obviously Asur L'Kuli Alma. Why? Because you're miscounting to make a hole. There is no hole at all the first time you stick your knife in the wall. And you want to make a hole. Why do you want to make a hole? To hold your knife. So that's for sure. Do a big havana. That's pashat usher. That's what the Bir Halacha says in the thought this was Bir Halacha. One second. Yes, that's the Bir Halacha, the last Bir Halacha. This case is Motor L'Kuli Alma. These cases, which is the Grish Dol Nichale, is Aser Lefi Trumas Hadeshen Umechaber Hirama Motor Lefi Magen Avraham Vitaz. Remember that Machlokes, because they said it's the Grish Dol Nichale and Mechalkel and Kalachar Yad, and the Psak is B'Mechubar the Minigas to Aser Aser the Bechavis Mutter Mamakum Tzorach. Now, let's apply this to modern day cases. You know what? Let me even expand this a little. Let me make myself one more part. So, this is, let's get the halacha l'maisa down. This case is mutter l'gamrei, because only a darshin is kavi. This is l'maisa in a kotel usher, in a chavis mutter v'makum tzorech, and in a safsal Mutter Legamrei. Why? Remember, that was the point of this Ramah here. Because just making a hole in the safsal that's not a petach, a hole that's not that's not an opening, that's not a doorway, that's not a way to get in and out, in a kli, is not a malacha b'chlal. Now, let's see a... And in this case, what do we say here? What about if you're sticking it in the first time? So that clearly... come back to that in a second. Okay. Let's apply this to bulletin boards. Most bulletin boards are mechubar l'karka. I'm not saying that is a halachic principle. Just most bulletin boards that I've seen are mechubar l'karka. It's not a rule. If your bulletin board is not mechubar l'karka, it's not. But let's talk about bulletin boards like in the Beis Medrash. It's mechubar l'karka. Can you stick the pins in and out of the bulletin board on Shabbos? Right? Now, putting up the piece of paper, that's not malacha on Shabbos. The piece of paper is not part of the building. Come on, that's like a temporary thing that's not part of the building. No one thinks putting a piece of paper is adding to the building. But, what? Putting a hole, you are making a hole through the paper. but a hole through the paper, that's it. What about making a hole through the paper? Is making a hole through the paper in malacha. First of all, you could do it without making a hole through the paper if you're clever, right? Making a hole through the paper, that's probably like, that's not a pesach, like you don't use it for getting things in and out. That's probably like a hole in the safsal. Okay, so that is going to be a little controversial. Okay, good. So let's see, let's say you already have a hole in the paper. How about sticking the pins into the bulletin board? So sticking the pin to the bulletin board is like sticking a knife into the wall, right? Sticking the pin to the bulletin board for the first time is a problem. Because you're making a hole in something mechubar l'karka. What? What if it already has holes in it?
The first part by nature is like it has holes.
And yeah, but you make bigger holes when you stick it in. You're widening the hole. So widening the hole b'kavana is usser, even b'psikresha is usser. So what about a cork board? So the simple shot is in a corkboard, if you treat it like a wall, which you're right, it's not exactly the same as a wall, is that putting it in the first time through a hole is a problem. Putting it in the second time in a hole is a problem. Putting it in the third time in a hole would be okay. L'chomra, since corkboards are very soft, maybe even if you put it the second time through a hole very gently would be okay. Like if you had a gezunta hole in the corkboard and you stuck it in, then that would be okay, because it's not a segregation of widening the hole. If you had a gezunta hole, maybe that's like you already put in twice.
Is it not hard to identify, like, Really, you have to track where, you have to put it exactly in a hole?
No, or you like fold the paper a little. You have to be clever. So basically, you can't use bulletin boards on Shabbos is the point. Right? Because you're making a hole in the bulletin board. Even taking the thumbtack out might widen the hole in the bulletin board. Although for bulletin boards, I wonder if it's exactly like wood. If you take the thumbtack out, does that widen it really? Putting it in definitely causes a hole. How do I know? Because if you look at a bulletin board, there's more of a hole after you put the thumbtack in. But putting it in, unless it was already a very wide hole, then it would not be a secretion. But basically, we don't use bulletin boards on Shabbos. The fascinating question is, and this is controversial on Hayom HaZeh, the fascinating question is, what about Tolsh? What about the styrofoam wig heads? Anyone's wife have one of the styrofoam wig heads at home? Right? The Schmitz way, very fancy to store your wig, is the shekel. You put the shekel on the head, and then you pin it onto the head, just to make it very sturdy so that nothing will happen to it. Can you put the pin, and you can't aim that pin at all, right? Because like you can't see like where it's going under the shekel. You can't like bend the shekel around. So can you stick that pin into the styrofoam on Shabbos? It's tallish, it's like a safsal, right? So here's an interesting question. In a safsal, will we matter even stick it in the first time? Or only taking it out the first time? Here we only discuss taking out the first time. How about sticking it in the first time in a safsal? So in a kotel or a chavis, that's pashat asur. Of course you can't stick it in the kotel for the first time. You're drilling a hole in the kotel directly. Of course you can't stick it in the chavis for the first time. You're eating a pesach in your chavis directly. Can you stick it in the safsal the first time? So that's not so clear. Right? Not so clear if you can stick it in your chavis the safsal the first time or not. On the one hand, you can say, I'm not doing any malacha. What malacha am I doing? It's a dover tolush and it's not a petach, so it's the ein binyan bekelim. On the other hand, you could say no, to actually make a useful hole in something, not to widen a hole, but to make a hole in something, that's improving the kli. That's makam apatish. That's bona. So, this is, how about a safsal?
So, could you repeat why to say a safsal?
Or a wig head? Is unclear. What?
How, you said the problem is that you're improving the kli?
The problem is, the problem is, here you are like making like a way for it to hold the shaitel. Right? So maybe that's also even a kli. Or maybe not. It's not clear. We never discuss like sticking in the first time in a safsal. Right? The Mishnah Berurah said, well, sticking in the first time in a kotel is pashat asur l'kuli alma. Fine, but he never said, what about sticking in the first time in a safsal? It's not addressed anywhere on the page of the Shulchan Aruch or the Mishnah Berurah. So what do we say halach l'maisa in that case? So that's why ad hangom hazeh, the wig heads is controversial. The bulletin boards are not so controversial. We basically don't use bulletin boards. Unless you want to be very medayik to find all the open holes. But the wig heads, it's tricky. So that's very controversial. Lemaisa, I didn't see it addressed in most of the poskim. Maybe I just don't know how to say it in Hebrew, but I couldn't find it in any of the Hebrew sfarim. Okay, maybe it's my problem. In the, there are some poskim that sound like it's okay. In the Sode Halacha, which is a Hebrew sefer, he certainly sounds like he thinks it's okay, but that's not a famous posek. The one person I found addressing it explicitly is Rabbi Ribiat. In his Sefer, page 1053, Lamentes Malachos, he says it's usher. He says, no, making a hole the first time, that's not the discussion of anyone in the Siman. We're all talking about widening holes, not making holes. The distinction between Caleb and Karka is widening holes. Making holes is usher in anything. And therefore, you can't stick your pin. If you stick into an existing hole, that's fine. But there's no way you can know that you're sticking your pin into an existing hole in your shape left. Unless you're much more skilled than I imagine you could be. But I can't imagine how you could possibly get into an existing hole. And therefore, says Rabbi Ribiat, you're not allowed to use the pins of the shekel head on Shabbos. You just have to live without it. Not everyone agrees, because it's not mafurish in the Shulchan Aruch. But Lemaisa, I think we should be machmer on that. And not use the... you can use the shekel head and put your shekel on it. Just don't pin it to the shekel head on Shabbos.
What about a corkscrew? Putting a hole to a mark?
What about a corkscrew, right? A corkscrew is pashat. A corkscrew is pashat, that it's mutter, right? So what's the difference between a corkscrew? Now, the difference between a corkscrew and a bulletin board is obvious. The corkscrew is the cork is tallish, the bulletin board is mechaber. Right? But what's the difference between a corkscrew, according to Rabbi Ribiat? I wish I had brought him, or his book. If I could bring him, that would be great. But what's the difference between that? Everyone knows you can make a hole in the cork with a corkscrew. So why can't you make a hole in the wig head? So I don't have it in front of me, and I should really just read, you know, his formulation, I'm sure, addresses that. But the svara seems to be, when you're making a hole in the cork with a corkscrew, that's not like using, like that's not the best functionality of the cork. The cork doesn't have more functionality now when you put the corkscrew through it. Right, you're just taking out the cork. And the cork's not useful now because it has a corkscrew in it. But when you stick it in the wig head, like that's really the best way for the wig head to perform, the styrofoam head to perform its function. Now it can hold the pin that really pins your shaytel well. So maybe that's more of a problem, or just to say it in another way, putting the corkscrew through the cork is not like the way you use the cork. It's not making the cork work better. Here, this is the way the styrofoam wig head works best when it has a pin in it. So maybe that's more chomer. It's not so pashut. It's not so pashut. And I know there are many mekilim on this, many machmirim on this. Okay, lemaisa, maybe I just don't appreciate the importance of pinning your shayfel to a styrofoam wig head, so on, to inclined to running to aser.
What about pinning something to your lapel, or like what pins on the shirts or whatever?
So. Every time we pin something to a shirt, so I think pinning something to a shirt, that's not making a hole at all. When you take the pin out, you can't see the hole. Right? When you pin something to a shirt, you take it out. I mean, not that second. A minute later, you can't see where it was pinned anymore. So that doesn't really change the shirt at all. Because the nature of fabric is that it's flexible, and you can put something in and take it out, and it doesn't change it at all. So then you wouldn't say you haven't drilled a hole. Because you haven't changed the fabric. There's no permanent hole in the fabric. If you cut a hole for the button, that would be an issur d'oraisa probably. Let's say you didn't have a buttonhole, so you cut yourself a buttonhole. Avada, that would be usur, right? Because like you want there to always be a hole there. So okay, this is not exactly comparable to that, I understand.
I've seen this happen with people like their pants or whatever, like the seam comes out and it's dragging.
You could safety pin it on Shabbos. Right, so you could safety pin that on Shabbos. But there, you're not making a hole in your pants because when you take the safety pin out, there's no hole anymore. Yeah?
So
it's a machlokas poskim, but the vast majority of poskim say that safety pins are not called tofer because they're things which are specially used only temporarily. And any surah of tefira, which is specially made to be only temporary, is not a problem of tofer. That's why Velcro is not tofer. And why buttoning is not tofer. And why zipping is not tofer, according to the vast majority of poskim. Because those are special surahs that are only used temporarily. Tofer is only if you do the surah that people use to make things permanently. Now, if I sew something temporarily, it's still usher. Because it's a surah that's, or it might still be usher at least. Because it's the tzura of sewing that people do permanently. But even though it looks like sewing, because you're sticking something through, still we assume safety pins are mufka from sewing because they're a special tzura, which is not the way people actually manufacture things. Okay, I think that's about it for Simon Shin Yudalid. I think we'll pick up with Simon Shin Tesvav. Mirta Hashem next month. Okay, next month we still have Shemishin Tesvav, and then we'll see what else we have time to get through before the end of the Zman. Okay, anyone who wants to make a summer Halacha Shabbos Zman should speak to Aaron Cherniak, and he'll be the gabbai of summer Halacha Shabbos Zman.